Probably know Long Island City is now becoming New York's new brewing mecca. Tonight we have Rich and Lisa Castagna of Bridge and Tunnel Brewing, and they're going to tell us about the brewery, the beer, and give us some samples.
How you guys doing? Thanks, Felice, for the invite. My name's Rich Castagna. This is my wife, Lisa. Our brewery name is Bridge and Tunnel Brewery. The brewery is actually about 5 minutes away from here. I'm over in Maspeth, close to Long Island. We used to live in Long Island City. Well, the brewery's been operating for about 5 months now. The first homebrew meeting that I went to was with the Brooklyn Bruisers. I recognized a few people. Seems like a long time ago, because a lot has kind of happened. At the time when I did the first meeting, every brew session that I had, I was getting injured. And now I'm to the point where I know exactly where everything is in my submarine brewery. So I'm not getting hurt anymore, although there's plenty of opportunities to get hurt. I know Coney Island has that reputation of being the, right there, the Guinness Book of World Records smallest brewery. I'm going to say I'm the smallest functioning brewery in New York. My space is about 150 square feet. My system is 1.5 barrel system, which I built myself from the ground up over a period of probably about 3 years. So the idea was in my head. It started off first, I bought the kettles, then trying to figure out what I was going to do with the kettles. Then next thing you know, I had an opportunity to get some oak, some tongue and groove oak. And after that, I started cladding the kettles out in the oak, and then one thing led to another, and before you knew it, I had a space to brew in. And started the licensing process last year, about this time of year, in January. And I finally got everything squared away in September 12th. It's been a pretty good learning process, kind of running into things. I come from a homebrewer's background and running into challenges that you don't anticipate while brewing on a bigger system. So it's been interesting. I'm brewing roughly 18 sixthels per month. That's my goal. Around the holidays, I'm a one-man operation. So it's like that's a whole challenge in itself. Around the holidays, my kids were coming home. I have 3 kids. Kids were coming home with this one had this cold, this one had another cold. Next thing you know, I had some cold. It knocked me out. I took like a 2-week break, which kind of like slowed the whole thing, ground everything to a halt. I did a delivery of 12 kegs shortly before New Year's, and then I was just, that was it, I was done. So I've been actually replenishing my stocks, really, you know, my inventory. And now Beer Week has come up, and I got a handful of things that people wanted me part of, so I brewed, and now the stuff that I made is committed, so it's like, that has another 2 weeks before that goes out. It's just been kind of weird, like the timing of things, but I'm trying to brew stuff that I can actually have, like I say, you know, it's on tap here, it's on tap there. Right now, everything is leading toward Beer Week. I have 3 styles right now that I've been brewing. I have 2 with me tonight. First one that I have, I figure you guys are probably interested in just cracking open the beers. First one I have is a Dunkelweizen. Pass around. I don't know how you guys usually do it. If you want me to like just pass it.
Okay. Yeah. 1.5 barrels. How many gallons is that again?
45. Yeah, 45 gallons. Being a New York Queens brewer, there's a lot of breweries out there now. One thing about my brewery, I mean, I'm trying to have some fun with it. I'm trying to insulate it from all the pressures that maybe a brewery gets into when they start ending up on a treadmill where they gotta. They have to meet a lease, and they have to step to sell this much beer in order to just break even. Right now, basically, I own the space that I'm brewing in. I built everything myself, so I didn't really drop a lot of money to put it together. So, like, I feel like this kind of like freedom that I could do pretty much whatever I want, and also the quantities are so small that I can make something, distribute it. A bar owner was telling me. I kind of asked him, he said, I had a guy in Queens, he said, you know, I had 92 breweries this past year. And I was like, that's great, man. And I was like, you know, you saw so many breweries. In your opinion, what would you, because he was saying, and you got to get on Twitter, you got to, like, put stuff out there, you know, and people will respond to you and this and that. I just recently got on Facebook for this brewery. My wife's on Facebook, and now I'm like the new Facebook guy in the family. But so he's like, you got to get on Twitter. You can put out like a request and people will respond to you. And I was like, all right, well, let's say, what if I asked you, like, this hypothetically, what would be a good, what would you think would be a good beer to brew if you had all the freedom? And then he goes, I like to think that the Brooklyn brewery philosophy, the 4-point rule, that you have to make it, so you have to make a beer so that someone can have 4 of those beers in one sitting and not get tired of it. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. But let's say if your brewery is so small that somebody just has one and likes it, and then goes tell somebody else, and that person has one, you can empty that 6-tel just as quick. So that's kind of like, I'm in this spot now where I feel like I can pretty much brew whatever I want. So it's been kind of, what is the possibility? What can we do? The Dunkelweizen. Also, I wanted to add stories to each of the beers. And I've told this story before, that the Dunkelweizen is actually named after a neighbor that I had growing up in Queens. I happened to be born and raised in the boroughs. This is kind of like an opportunity for me to pay tribute to where I'm from. You can come up with all this historical significance, or you can name beers after people who are possibly just as historical. Growing up, I had this neighbor, this guy, Emil. He was kind of a dark, brooding German guy that had incredibly manicured hedges. We used to play stickball in front of his house. He lived right on the corner. And God forbid if a ball or football or a stickball went into his hedges, the guy would go nuts. Sometimes, you know, if you had a football, I mean, that was pretty valuable. We had to go in and get it, so we would be out there drawing straws of who was going to climb through the hedges to get the ball. And if we did reach those hedges, he would come out with literally a pair of hedge clippers. And it went for a few years like that. And we never thought to call the cops or tell our parents. We just kind of, like, accepted that this was one of the guys on our street. So I named the Dunkelweizen Angry Emil. And I made a tap handle with a buddy of mine, Isaac, stood in as Emil, and we put a pair of hedge clippers behind his head. And, you know, that's the dunk. Of course, got to push the envelope. So I'm hoping that possibly in the spring, I want to put out, we've got a handful of people on Facebook now. And interesting, a lot of them are women. I'm thinking maybe the next one, later down the line, spring, I'm looking at Angry Ingrid, which is possibly going to be a Weizenbach, maybe 8% alcohol, something dark. And we're going to put it out there, maybe like an open tap handle. And whoever wants to submit their best image of Angry Ingrid, could be any image by a female fan of the brewery. And that's going to be the project for the spring. It's not a real person, but I figure Angry Ingrid will need somebody.
How large is the beer? What is the ABV?
It's 5.3% alcohol. It's about 21 IBUs. It's pretty standard for a Dunkel. And it did okay. It's been doing all right. I might save that one for maybe like the summer as well. The second beer that I have, which I was going to bring tonight, I had a handful of kegs that all kind of got spoken for because of Beer Week. And I had a sample keg, and I thought I had more of it. I didn't have much at the bottom, unfortunately. It's mellowing. So I wasn't comfortable with bringing it down. It's gotten a little quieter. It's basically a milk stout. So far, it's been my popular beer. I'm calling it Old Gilmartin Milk and Oatmeal Stout. It's really a milk stout. I use about 10 pounds of flaked oats in the mash. Give it a little twist. I like the head retention that oats impart and mouthfeel and all that. And plus, it's a little roastier. I do like oatmeal stouts. I do like milk stouts. My attempt was to mash the two together. People seem to like it. It's been doing okay. If I come back again at some point, I'll bring a sample. It started off at 4.5% alcohol by volume. I ramped it up to 5. It's about 28 IBUs. Initially, it was 32. I brought it down a little bit to balance it out. The first sample was very roasty, the first batch. Reduced the black cap a little bit. So now it's kind of like it's at a nice balance. And I'm going to be brewing it again Friday. 2:00 in the morning, that's my start time. I got on this new work schedule where I'm working 9 hours a day, but in return I get 1 day off every 2 weeks. So Friday, at every other Friday comes around, I got to hit it. I got to get up. It's 2:00 in the morning. I got to get out there. It's cold, it's dark. And it's funny too, preparing for a brew session, you know, after it's done, you feel great. And preparing for like a 45-gallon brew session, man, it's stress. So I'm in that like stress mode a little bit right now. The third beer that I have, which is actually going to be in Alex's cask event, is a Tiger Eyes. I named it Tiger Eyes Hazelnut Brown Ale. I'm trying to think of something that, to me, reminds me of like a pet name. Tiger Eyes Hazelnut Brown Ale.
Question before we start the next one.
Okay.
This terrific.
You like it?
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do anything like unique, like Scott Mash?
Well, right now I just haven't been doing any steps in my mash. But the thing is that my mash tun, as I mentioned before, it's been doing okay without getting too fancy. But my mash tun is all, it's clad in oak. The oak is actually raised an inch above the exterior of the exterior of the kettle. And underneath that, there's a layer of boiler insulation. The bottom is insulated too. And the top has a very, very robust cover. When I mash in and I seal everything up, I hold the temperature.
What's the heat source?
Propane. I don't need to heat the mash once it's in there. My hot liquor tank, I raise it up to my strike temperature, pump it in, grains go on top, stir it up. It holds that temperature so well that it's been giving me pretty good efficiency. But I might eventually start employing some steps, protein rest, possibly. I mixed Hefeweizen yeast and Belgian golden ale yeast. I mixed the two. And Hefeweizen and Belgian golden ale. I find that the Belgian golden ale is more like a little more presence, stronger, like clove, banana. That's what I find. All right, so hazelnut brown ale. You like it? Okay, this hazelnut brown ale I've been sitting on for a while, since going back to when I was a home brewer. Hazelnut brown ale, it's 5.5% alcohol by volume. I believe it was 30 IBUs. It's really modeled after a Southern English brown ale. I used Ringwood ale yeast. Ringwood, you need to give it a good rest to get the diacetyl out. Although, some people that have been sampling it so far, getting it out to the places that the accounts that I've been dealing with, one guy said that he kind of thought, the sample itself, I dropped it into a keg before giving it a good secondary rest. The kegs that I'm putting out there now have the secondary rest, and so there's less, it's very clean. But the sample that I put out there, one guy said, and I kind of thought it was an interesting take on it. He goes, it's kind of sweet and kind of savory. And maybe it matches because you could taste a little almost like salty in the middle, middle note. So far, people seem to be interested in it. I mean, everybody that I've dropped it off with, bring two cakes. This is the one I'm excited about. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
What time do you want it to be roasted?
Like 20 minutes toward the end. And I have a couple other tricks, but right now, I'd like to maybe push it a little bit before I let it all out there. Eventually, I'll put a recipe out there. I just want to give it a little time. Okay, Tiger Eyes. It's funny. There was an article that came up in, it came out in Time Out New York today, of all the breweries in Queens. Of course, the scrappiest one, Bridge and Tunnel Brewery, was right at the bottom, which is fine. I kind of like that reputation. The girl that did the interview, she took a couple of liberties and said things that I didn't necessarily say or mean or whatever. If you read the article, there's one line at the bottom that says that the hazelnut brown ale is an ode to brown-eyed women. And I was like, I don't know if I would say that. Maybe that's why they put me at the bottom. Beers themselves tell small stories, you know what I mean? Maybe stories that people don't know or don't remember or haven't been here to see it or experience it. All right, and the last couple things, the other couple of styles that I'm looking at, or at least one style, I have approval for two styles, actually. I have approval for a Black Rye IPA. Very interesting, the labeling process you have to go through when you go commercial. Every label can take, depending on what you're doing with the beer, it could take 40 days up to 70 days to get your label approval. So you got to kind of plan in advance. They always seem to find something to reject it and send it back to you.
And that's even if it's just draft.
Well, what I have now is the easiest because my label is just put it right on the keg. Right. I can't even imagine what it's like for bottles. Wow. So I have approval for a robust porter melting pot. Yeah, another. The last one is a Black Rye IPA.
You've developed all your own recipes?
Yeah. do all my own recipes. I do everything by hand. Technology is great, but I feel like it takes the fun out of it. So I'm not using Beersmith or anything like that. Everything is start to finish to do all the math. And in fact, my kettles don't even have sight glasses. If I need to know how much is in there, I do a math equation, figure it out, get it right down exactly how much that I have in my kettle or how much I need to raise it to. Instead of buying a $100 sight glass.
That's crazy.
And what else can I tell you?
Anybody have any questions?
Okay.
The water is just city water, right?
City water, I'm not filtering it right now, but it's running through a FDA-approved line, and I'm running it before I start brewing with it.
It's a 1.5 barrel system.
Yeah.
But your storage and your fermenting is what size?
58-gallon conical fermenters.
Okay.
So everything's kind of fits in. I wanted to go a little bit bigger, but it would have meant like an extra...
Buy another house.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of expensive as it was. Yeah. But it's 58-gallon fermenters I'm roughly doing.
Okay.
I can pull off 45-gallon batches. I've even gone as far as getting 48 gallons. The last batch I did 50. I just keep pushing the envelope. The kettle is like right at the top. In fact, when I did the when I did the talk at Brooklyn Bruisers, I didn't mention it to these guys, but my boil kettle is about this high, maybe a little design flaw. If I start getting a little active, hot wort starts blowing out, and I had a second degree burn on my ear. Again, the injury factor. Now that thing starts going, and I just wherever I have to go, I always give it its space. It's like you got to respect the beast.
So it's drafts now, and it's going to be drafts in the future, right?
You know, I've been doing drafts. I've been trying to fill at least one cask per batch.
Okay. Well, every once in a while, you got to tame the
other beast.
Okay. Are you breaking down the same key fitting every time?
Yeah, everything. I do everything manually. I just take out the spears. I built a keg cleaner that's been doing a pretty good job. Running sanitizer through it, seal it up. When I'm ready to fill them, they get filled. I try not to let it go past like a day or two. The first factor was looking at a $7,000 to $15,000 keg cleaner. You know, that was like, all right, you know, maybe I'll never get this thing off the ground.
Oh, wait.
And then the more I got thinking about it, I was like, you know what? I could take the kegs apart. I could learn how to do it. I learned how to take them apart. And then based on that, I was like, I could build something to clean these. Yeah, any other questions?
What did you do before you started
brewing? I'm still doing what I did. I mean, some of the things that I did a lot of different things. At one point, I had a clothing line for like 3 years. Kind of like channeled into this idea to make something and then put it out there. So I'm finding that this kind of like really fits with that. And I've been at a loss for years since after I lost my business. That was about 13 years ago. And now I feel like I got it back a little bit. That, you know, you make it, you put it out, people like it. Some people like it.
Not everybody likes it.
Maybe not everybody. Yeah, there you go. It's a queen style.
Hey, Dan out the store.
I was a teacher for 5 years. Lived overseas in Korea as I started teaching. Then came back here. I was taught in public schools. Now I'm working as an export shipping agency, or not actually an agent. I'm working for a shipping agency, and I do just about whatever needs to be done. I've been doing that for about 10 years, and I feel like if I can build this a little bit bigger and be able to keep this kind of freedom, pull all the people on board that really, really are into the brewery, and work as much as I can and tailor everybody's schedule, maybe it could work out for a few people like that. Because let's face it, man, I mean, like, I've already lost a business. I said years ago I lost the business, partly because I didn't have health insurance. I don't want to go down that road again. Anybody else?
Well, how much larger can you grow in your...
I'm tapped out. We're looking for a bigger space right now, actually.
Have you gone out to city yet?
I'm actually going to be part of Jimmy's number 43, right? He's going to be, he's having an event February 28th, and he's calling it the launch of Bridge and Tunnel Brewery in Manhattan. So that's going to be the first time. So yeah, so thanks a lot for having me down, and I appreciate the opportunity, and right on. Thank you.
Thank you.